Hello.
Hello.
I'm Tom Rowe with Wavefarm, and here with us is Ethan Primison and Corey McCorkle. Did I pronounce those names correctly?
It's Ethan.
Ethan.
Yeah.
But you
got the last name. Which
I was working all on the second name and not the first.
Yeah, the alliteration name you nailed.
And you guys put together these Radio Benjamin broadcasts?
Yeah, we did. So how did... Corey, did you reach out to us?
I reached out to you anonymous. I mean, not anonymously, but through no, back channel. Uh-huh. I wrote info at Clock Tower.
Yeah. Wow. So Corey reached out to us about...
Did you know about the book?
Yeah, it was July. And it'd been a book I'd been waiting to see published for quite a while. I teach some other Benjamin things in town. And occasionally when I have a German-speaking student, instead of having them do whatever I'm assigning from the text, I'll have them translate one of these, or had them translate one of these stories. So I have a little collection of about five or six of them. But this is quite a landmark book. So yeah, I just thought it would be interesting to try to bring it to life somehow, and through an actual radio program, if not live radio.
Since none of the recordings exist, is that correct?
There's no recording that exists, and it was kind of Frankenstein back together from notes and some of the archival material that was left with Bataille when he left Paris. A lot of it stuck in Berlin until I think the 80s or 1980 exactly or something. But yeah, a bit of a mystery. And it was something that he sort of disparaged. Like, he didn't try to self-publish any of his stuff. He was doing it for money. It was his money gig. And he was very seemingly dismissive about it. But I found it fascinating. And clearly, the scholars that put all of this together also found it fascinating. I think kids are going to find it fascinating. People that aren't Benjamin scholars will find it fascinating.
Yeah, as did we. I mean, it was a pretty perfect program for Clock Tower. We were pretty honored and excited to be tasked to put this back on the radio and have it heard, I guess, for the first time in 80 years or so.
Yeah, I think that would be... These were all done from 29 to 33, I think, was the last one. But, you know, it was at the time of radio in its infancy, really, in regional...
So they were only heard live in Germany at the time.
Correct. And he was working at two stations, one in Radio Frankfurt and the other was Radio Berlin. And I think I was just fact-checking before the interview a little bit. It looks like radio was kind of active starting in 1925. So these, you know, are 4 years after that. So, you know, ostensibly it's all new media. So it's interesting to kind of, you know, in the spirit of Benjamin, kind of excavate this like recent historical material and inject it into, you know, what passes for the kind of avant-garde of media. I mean, everybody and their mother has a podcast at this point, right?
Right.
But at this time in radio history, like Amos and Andy had just started in the United States.
Sure.
So this was quite different.
Right. And it's, you know, these particular stories were for children. It was called The Children's Hour, but they were laced with all of his research, you know, pretty heady stuff. And, you know, depending on which scholar you talk to, pretty mystical stuff or historical materialist, you know, trying to come up with a new way to think about history while reminding us that history is this man-made thing. It's not something that's just inevitable and something you can intervene with. So the stories have a lightness and a playfulness, actually. Some of them are quite funny, but they're all kind of mimicking a lot of the work that he was doing on the Arcades project at the same time, which is, you know, this enormous, unfinished collection of digressions, kind of focused collection of digressions. So, yeah, it's got a lot of backstory, but you don't really need that to listen and enjoy them.
Yeah.
So was it really meant for children, or was it secretly meant for adults? Was it like the Simpsons of its time?
I mean, I think certainly it was meant for children, but some of the maybe it's just its own German spin on things, but some of the material is pretty heavy, going from natural disasters, and can be playful, but it definitely isn't kind of dumbed down in any sense for children. They're playful stories with a moral, but I think they can be enjoyed by a very wide audience of people.
And then they have this magical quality to jump out of time into this one, you know. Mm. Whether it's the catastrophes, like the Mississippi flood reads like it was written in very recent history.
Definitely.
And the gypsies story reads like it was written this last month in Sweden or somewhere. So there's a lot of kind of, you know, latent political issues that are obviously still unresolved. And it's just a really interesting kind of circling back.
Well, he discusses the birth of modernity. Are we going through the birth of postmodernity now, and that's what you're the reflection you're seeing?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Those terms, I'm always like, I'm terrified of postmodern. What on earth is that? But there, I mean, he was in the arcades, for instance. He was trying to chart the birth of modernity. You know, he called the arcades the mold from which the face of modernity was cast, and the arcades being, you know, these shopping corridors that would connect outdoor streets, but they were interior kind of spaces within the fabric of the city. And he was fascinated by these things that, you know, displayed commodities and, you know, kind of laid down the grammar for social exchange based on where you were and who you were, a prostitute or a businessman or some flaneur of some sort. But yeah, he was trying to chart modernity, and the stories, you know, play with that idea too. And I think, you know, modernity, when did that start? Like in Athens? 500 BC, maybe. I think the 19th century idea of modernity would probably be something that talks about an authentic experience as opposed to, you know, just a alienated one through the production of commodities. And I'm just going to stop there before I put everyone to sleep. But he was fascinated with that. There's a whole chapter on Marx in the arcades, but sort of more of the mystical Marx. Yeah, authentic experience. So maybe if we're trafficking in postmodernism, we'd be post-authentic or something. I don't know. Postmodernism depresses me, really.
not for children.
Yeah.
How did you approach the production? Is it just a straight reading, or are there Foley effects, or you know, orchestration, or you know what? How does it? How do you play it out?
We had a few meetings where Corey would come to our modest little studio here at Pioneer Works with his Radio Benjamin book marked up with post-its, and we would just go through them one at a time. So I think we did 29 episodes.
29
at about, I think, 15 to 20 minutes a piece.
Yeah, and we stretched it out over about 9 months. Does that sound right? Or 7 months?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, and from a production end, Corey was kind enough to kind of give me some leeway with very minimal interludes, which I tried to keep true to the time period and the context of each story. But yeah, very minimal. We wanted to honor the idea of what these radio broadcasts would have been like. And kind of tying this whole idea of why they're, to me, I think it's really interesting how these stories relate to social and political issues now. So I wanted to keep the production true to maybe what a 1930s German broadcast would sound like while still making it interesting for a listener today.
Yeah, there's some really, I mean, Ethan did a great job putting these things together, especially the music, the gypsy music, the bar talk that he chose. And it's like, it's heartbreaking stuff.
Are there notes or any descriptions or reviews, or what did you? I mean, you have a script, I guess, but is that all you have?
We didn't do any research apart from what was presented in the book, and there is a whole timeline and when they were broadcast, but as far as I know, I didn't come across any actual reviews, which would have been, you know, interesting. But I think they were all one-offs, so
yeah.
A review would be more of a, you know, looking back at what happened as opposed to look for this thing that's about to occur. And for me, reading, I just wanted to stay out of the way of what was written. I'm sure Benjamin's reading of these would be much more animated. I mean, he has a whole Brechtian kind of appreciation, which I do too, but I'm not an actor, not even close. So I thought...
You're not, you sound like you're a voice actor.
That's going to be my next job after this. This was all just for me to have a portfolio of like, yeah.
Yeah, Corey has a great radio voice, but I think...
But you've never done any like this before? I mean, hearing your voice for the first time, it sounds like you are an old pro.
Nope, this was it. And I just, you know, I got excited just because I could do it cheaply. Like producing this and hiring somebody would be, you know, I couldn't afford to do that. Especially, I mean, Ethan and I worked for months just trying to patch this together. So yeah, and there was something in the, I think it was in the introduction where she, Alicia Rosenthal, the editor of Radio Benjamin, was describing Sholem's description of Benjamin's voice, which I think she said was harmonious or melodious and humorous. Those are the two. Those are the only descriptions that I think exist on his voice. So.
So you tried to stay faithful to those two adjectives?
I tried to do the melodious. The humor is, you know, humor is a personal thing. Yeah. I also, you know, just in some sort of fidelity to the written word, I think that's maybe in the future someone will take this as a stepping off point to do a more dramatic reading of these. You know, I could see New York Public Library Saturday morning, some, you know, more, you know, engaging. I call them the virtual story time for my son. I'm like, do you want me to read you a story tonight? Virtually? Here you go. Here's my phone.
Do you know what time slot they were on German radio? Like, were they on Saturday mornings or?
I'm not sure.
I did know this and I should be better prepped.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure on that.
It is in the book. Go buy the book.
Yeah, Verso Books.
Verso Books, Radio Benjamin, at your nearest local bookstore.
And what has been the reaction of children? So have you... How did children react to it?
In the 20s or now?
Both. You can answer either if you know the answer to the first
I don't
question.
Know the answer to the first. The children I've played it for have been merciful and interested, I think. That's about as much...
Yeah, we haven't had many children here in the radio studio, but everyone, we've only heard good things from people.
Yeah, we haven't really done a push, I would say, yet. I mean, we've only unrolled...
Yeah, we've only put out six
I think,
so far.
Three more next week.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any German interest in what you're doing?
There has the Städelschule in Frankfurt is a partner in this, actually. So they're going to help distribute and get the word out. I mean, they've got a pretty long arm in terms of European kind of cultural, for lack of a better word, audience.
Mm.
So, yes, very much so from Frankfurt. And then Berlin, I don't think it's on their radar yet. Certainly not from me. It will be shortly. It will be like within the next month. So stay tuned. But yeah, there's going to be distribution there, which is really exciting.
You should mention the other partners, I guess, involved.
NYU is involved, Steinhardt School, and Städelschule, and
Verso is a
and Verso, yeah, and Verso, sorry, right. Yeah, of course. Verso was I reached out to them first, and they were enthusiastic immediately. I was really surprised.
And now Wave Farm as well.
And now Wave Farm. And so maybe it'll keep growing, you know. Since it's never going to disappear.
Right, yeah. We're doing our duty to put it out there.
Was it daunting at first? It seems like a...
Very much. Yeah. I mean, granted they're children's stories, but it's still, you know, the legacy of the most influential and, you know, constantly misunderstood thinker ever.
Mm. In an unfinished, undocumented project. A bit daunting, but a really interesting challenge that I'm really glad that Corey reached out and came to us with it.
Do you think these recordings will be misunderstood too?
No, I think they're pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think we tried to keep them pretty true to the text.
My pronunciations, maybe. maybe those are misconstrued. I certainly misconstrued them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can get away with a tiny bit of French, maybe. But German, I would say it really fast and it would sound really convincing. Trick of the trade.
All right. Anything else you guys want to mention or did we leave out?
Anything on your end?
Nothing I can think of.
Yeah. I would just encourage people to keep an eye out on Clock Tower. We're going to be releasing the rest of the 29 episodes in batches of, I think, like 3 to 5 at a time I think we've been doing 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah, I think so.
So if you keep an eye out on clocktower.org, you'll be able to listen to this incredible collection and maybe check out some of our other historic audio and other programming we do.
And we'll listen for Corey's voice in future radio broadcasts. Or podcasts,
I think so.
Or something.
See, my next job, I would have, you know, I think Benjamin was just embarrassed that he had to do this for money. I'm, by contrast, I'm like, sign me up.
It's the flip side of the whole
exactly.
project. All right. Well, thank you, Ethan,
You got it.
I got it right. I'm overthinking it. Ethan Pernison and Corey McCorkle from Clock Tower Radio for producing these Walter Benjamin radio broadcasts from 1929 to 1932. You can catch them at clocktower.org.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
The following program is a part of the Radio Benjamin series produced for Clock Tower Radio on clocktower.org. It is broadcast in partnership with Wave Farm WGXC on 90.7 FM.